Boat show time again. And how the memories crowd in. Not just memories of Southampton and that splendid year when the big tent blew down and we all displayed superb British sang-froid. Southampton always is a breeze, literally, because the outdoor shoreside setting and bracing gales help to focus the mind, increase life jacket sales and flares, and prevent dreamy dinghy molesters like me buying unsuitably flimsy craft, something I am much more tempted to do in the indoor dream world of Excel in January. But the words boat show betray my long years of boat owning by making me think immediately of the Earl's Court Exhibition Centre, home for many years of the main January show. It was a place of pilgrimage, redolent of Carl Giles cartoons and excited crowds in deck shoes debouching from the underground, suddenly freed from Christmas duties at home and primed to meet old mates by the Guinness stand, engage in fierce arguments with manufacturers, play with the winch testing machine and generally expect favourite magazines, charters, builders and charities to be occupying more or less exactly the same spot they always had. I am feeling particularly nostalgic about those shows and the many Christmases I spent looking forward to them because of the news that Boris Johnson has sanctioned the demolition of that great Art Deco barn. He wants to create acres of urban villages. Insultingly, the press said that the 1937 building is best known for hosting high-profile music events such as the Brit Awards and Pink Floyd. But no, for us, Earl's Court was more pink trousers than Pink Floyd. It meant the boat show. This, my children, was when there was only one show all year long, and it came at the point of the year when you were most missing having anyone to talk to about anchor wells and lee cloths. And the reason it was so magical, more magical than Excel I fear can ever be, is quite simple. Masts. For those too young to remember, the Earl's Court ceiling was high enough for substantial yachts to be shown off with their masts up. And there was a gallery around the top level where all the little chandlers and engine manufacturers and fascinating specialists had their stands. So you could go up there, lean on the rail with a couple of mates, and look appraisingly at those mastheads. You could look down through a flutter of bunting to the pristine decks below and imagine yourself up the mast at sea, or looking down from a distant exotic dockside. And down on the lower level, walking round the decks of your dream boat, you could get a proper sense of the space, the safety, the distance between handholds on shrouds, the sheer size of sailcloth towering overhead. In other words, the height of Earl's Court gave sailing yachts their proper dignity, their extra dimension. Indeed, the fact that they were indoors exaggerated it. It gave the spectacle more punch than you can ever get, even out of doors at Southampton. They were just bigger and more impressive, marvellous interlopers in the city. And face it, masts are magical and strange. They're poetic symbols of our separate world, towering over prosaic motorboats. When I first stepped onto yachts, even quite small ones, I felt overpowered by the immense slender masts high above me and their potential to tilt the boats right over or, horror of horrors, capsize them completely. All marina newcomers shade their eyes to gaze up to the distant burgee or wind vane as generations did before them, feeling something of the splendid and vulnerable majesty of sail. And in Earl's Court, as nowhere else, the yachts ashore looked magnificent, dominant, and wild.